今天的读经是箴言书第四章第十四节到第十五节，不可行恶人的路，不要走坏人的道，要躲避，不可经过，要转身而去。
Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way.
好，各位弟兄姐妹，愿你们平安。今天是这个我们的问题，神的答案这个系列的第二次。
Today we're continuing our second in the series called Our Problem, God's Solution.
我们刚刚读的箴言书这段圣经里面，第一句说不可行恶人的路，不要走坏人的道。
We just read this verse from Proverbs, and the first verse says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers."
如果我们真的能够做到这句话，是需要有一个基本的前提的。
If we really want to follow this verse, we need to understand some context.
对，就是你必须要先知道什么叫做什么路是恶人的路，什么道是坏人的道。
We have to know what is the path of the wicked and exactly what is the way of evildoers.
如果你不知道的话，你是躲避不了的。
If we don't know what it is, then we can't avoid it.
所以当我们今天讲到平庸的恶这样的一个主题的时候，
So when we talk about the banality of evil,
我们必须要先知道什么叫做平庸的恶。
We have to first understand what banality of evil means.
那今天我们的正道会从一段视频开始。
Today we'll start from a video.
那当我们在去看这个视频的时候，我希望大家能够是有一些思考的，就是说为什么这些人在当时这个环境里面会有这样的一些表现。
When you're watching the video, I want you to think carefully about why the people in the video are acting the way they are in their environment.
这个是北韩的领袖金正日逝世的时候拍的视频。
This was when the North Korean Supreme Leader Kim Jong-il passed away.
对，所以你可以在这个视频里面看到各种各样不同的年龄。好，这个视频里面出现许许多多不同年龄的人们。
In this video, there are people of many different ages.
小的大概就我们家 Becky 那么大。
As young as Becky.
稍微大一点的大概像Ben, Stanley, 这样大的这么大的这个年龄。
And older to the age of Ben and Stanley as well.
我们也可以看到不同的身份，有军人啊，有学生啊，有家庭妇女啊。
There are people of many different statuses, from military people to family people.
我们想要问的问题是说，这么炽烈的感情，这么强烈的感情是怎么来的？
We want to ask, where did these passionate and fiery emotions come from?
有人说是假的。
Some people say it's fake.
如果你让我去选的话，我倒宁愿是假的。
If you ask me, then I would say it would be fake.
但是很遗憾，我不得不承认说，这里面绝大部分人的感情是真的。
But it may be that most people here actually have genuine emotions.
就一个国家领袖的离世，为什么会对他们产生这么大的影响，这么大的冲击？
How can the death of a country's leader have such a huge impact on his people?
对于一个像 Becky 这样年龄的小孩子，他哪里来的对国家领袖的这么深切的感情？
To someone as young as, say, Becky, how could such an event have a huge impact?
是谁让他建立了这些感情？这肯定不是他自己主动生发出来的感情。
Who created these emotions in these people? It did not come naturally to them.
如果今天拜登要是离开这个世界 ，Becky 一滴眼泪都不会掉的。
If Biden passed away today, Becky would definitely not shed a tear.
那可是为什么我们可以看到这些人们可以捶着胸，可以捶着地，可以眼泪止不住的流？
How can these people beat their chests and beat the ground and have unending tears for them?
是怎么样的一种情感？当这个洪水要来的时候，这个一家人要逃亡的时候，这个男人们首先想到的不是救老婆救孩子。
What kind of emotion could make a person, a husband, in the moments before the flood comes, not to save their wife or children,
而是先去救墙上那一张印着领袖的海报。
But to first save the poster hanging on their wall of their glorious leader.
就是说，老婆孩子冲走了都没有关系，这张海报不能够被洪水冲走，不能够被洪水打湿。
It doesn't matter if their wife or children are swept away, but the poster must be saved.
那我们很多时候去看这些事情的时候，我们会觉得不可思议。
When we see these things, we can't believe them.
可是如果我，可是我想问大家，如果我们今天在那样的一个环境里面
，But if we were in that type of environment.
如果你就是这个人群当中的一个。
If we were one of this group of people,
如果你就在这个环境里面长大
if we even grew up in this environment,
你会不会在自己的脑海里面闪出来一个念头说我为什么要哭
would it ever occur to you to ask why am I crying?
我为什么非得爱这个人不可
why do I need to love this person?
我为什么一定要这样去做
Why do I have to do this?
那当然，如果今天你说，在视频里面所看到的这群人，如果他们有机会能够脱离那一个环境
，If these people could leave that environment, those surroundings,
以及围绕在他们身边的人群
，and to leave the people that they are surrounded by,
他们是不是很容易就会发生改变？
Will they very easily change themselves?
从他们的思想，从他们的决定，从他们的情感。
They change their thinking, change their decisions, change their emotions.
所以我们每一个人都有一个危险。
We all have a dangerous thing about ourselves.
那就是当我们处在某一个人群、某一个国家、某一个体制里面的时候。
When we are part of a country, a group, or a system,
我们会被影响，我们会被塑造，我们会被改变。
We'll be affected and influenced and changed by those things.
然后我们会把某一些事情就觉得是，就当成是理所当然我们应该去做的事情。
And we will quickly accept that certain things are just the truth and that we need to do them.
只有等到我们脱离那个环境的时候，我们才觉得说啊，这些事情不对，这些事情不应该是这样子的。
Only when we leave that environment do we realize that all those things are not right. We should not do them.
我们今天所要探讨的就是，我们需要有一种能力，是不脱离环境，我们也能思考的能力。
Today we're going to discuss how we can stay in that environment and yet still maintain our thinking.
所以如果今天你的环境里面有些东西是要让你为之哭泣的，你要先去想一想，我值不值得为他去哭。
If you think about things that you cry about now, are they really worth crying about?
如果有些事情会让我们觉得很开心很高兴的，你要想一想说，这些事情是不是真的值得我这么开心啊，中了彩票了我很开心，对吧？
The things that we currently laugh about,Are they worth laughing over?
如果某些事情今天让我们是，今天我们看到某一个新闻或者看到某一个报道，我们觉得气得浑身发抖。
If we see a news report and we become very angry.
我们要想一想这些东西是不是值得我们这么去生气。
Are they worth getting so angry about?
所以如果今天听完这堂道之后，你能够在接下来的每一个选择之前，
After listening to today's sermon, if you can think before every decision you make,
有那么一瞬间多想一想为什么以及值不值得。
Just take a moment to think why and is it worth it?
啊，那这个今天我们这个时间就有价值有意义。
Then our time here together would have been worthwhile.
我们首先要有一个最基本的一个名词解释。
First, we need to explain a vocab word.
对，我们今天讲到一个概念，这个概念叫做平庸的恶。
The concept we're talking about today is the banality of evil.
那它是一个相对于极端的恶的一个概念。
It's a concept that's relative to the radical evil.
那极端的恶就是很明显了，就是这个人一看上去就是一个穷凶极恶的人，一个凶恶的人，一个坏的人。
Radical evil is a very simple concept. It's just a person who is very vicious and evil.
他手上拿着一把刀，拿着一把枪，随时准备开枪，随时准备这个捅到你的这个身上。
He carries a knife or a gun and is willing to attack anybody.
然后对谁都很凶恶，都很残暴。
And is very cruel and vicious to anybody.
可是平庸的恶是指什么样的一个情况呢？
But what does the banality mean?
平庸的恶是指就像平凡如我们、善良如我们、简单如我们的这样的一群人。
It refers to an ordinary, kind group of typical people like ourselves.
平常别人看我们的时候都觉得说，啊，这个人很容易相处，这个人很有文化，这个人很有教养。
When other people look at us, they say, "Oh, they are very educated, very easy to get along with."
但是并不代表我们不会作恶。
But it doesn't mean that we're not capable of evil.
我们很可能会卷入到某一种潮流里面，或者某一种情绪里面，或者某一个人群里面。
It's still possible for us to get caught up in certain emotions, the flow of things, into the flow of a group.
然后我们跟着他们一起去做。
And we'll follow what the group does.
然后等到做完了以后，我们又说，哦，这个不关我的事。
And once the task is completed, we say that it had nothing to do with us.
所以它有一个很固定的一段的语言是来表达它的意思的。
So there's a very specific vocabulary for this concept.
所以平庸的恶指什么呢？指在意识形态的机器下面。
It refers to when under an ideology.
什么叫做意识形态呢？这个东方有东方的意识形态，西方有西方的意识形态，美国有美国的意识形态，中国有中国的意识形态。
What is an ideological machine?The West has its own, the East has its own, America and China each have their own.
政府在控制、在运转这样的一些意识形态。
The government and society control this type of.
我们呢，就是在这意识形态的控制下面。
We are under the control of these thoughts and ideologies.
那或者是说在群体里面。
Or we can say in a group.
有一句很有名的话，
There's a famous saying,
是一个将军对他的总统说的。
A soldier told his,
他说如果你给我50个人呢，
If you give me 50 people,
我什么都做不了。
I can't do anything.
但如果你给我50万的人呢，
But if you give me 500,000 people,
那我可以让他们做什么就可以做什么。
Then I can let them do anything they want.
为什么呢？因为50个人你很难去影响他。
Because it's very difficult to influence a group of 50.
但是50万个人放在一起的时候，你很容易去影响他。
But it's easy to influence a big group of 500,000.
我大声更明白，我就是说，如果你今天是今天我对 Frankie 要我要说服 Frankie， 不容易的。
If I want to influence Frankie, it's not easy.
这是一个个体，不容易的。
It's very difficult to influence.
但是如果我今天有50万个 Frankie， 就比较容易。
But if there's 500,000 Frankies, then it's easy.
因为只要你让这个群体产生一种无意识的行为的时候，
If you can get a group to stop thinking,
那他们就会跟随你。
And they'll quickly follow you.
他们会让自己说，哎，我不要想了，那个其他的49万个人已经帮我想了，我就不用想了。
I don't need to think. The other 490,000 people have already thought about it.
那么多人都去做了，我为什么不去做呢？
If everybody else is doing it, why can't I also?
那么多人都那么生气，我怎么可以不生气呢？
If everyone else is angry, how can I not be?
那么多人那么开心，我怎么能够不开心呢？
If everyone else is happy, why can't I?
所以当我们进到一个群体里面去的时候，我们很可能会变成一个没有思想，然后又觉得自己没有责任的这样的一个人。
When we become part of a group, we stop thinking and we give up our personal responsibility.
所以平庸的恶就是放弃自我思考能力。
The banality of evil is basically giving up your ability to think independently.
然后对下达的命令无条件的服从。
And to follow orders without any conditions.
然后呢，对于自己的这个判断的这个权利呢，自动就放弃了。
And to just automatically give up your ability to judge and think.
我们曾经讲过说，纳粹德国在二战的时候所做的这一切，就是在意识形态下面。
The crimes that Nazi Germany committed in World War II.
或者在群体里面。
Are under an ideological machine or in a group.
无思想。
Without thinking.
放弃自我思考的能力。
Giving up one's own independence.
对领袖或者对政权无条件的服从。
To follow the leader's commands.
然后放弃所有自己原来建立的这些价值判断。
To completely give up your own personal values.
然后跟着这个国家去行恶。
And to follow the country.
这就是第二次世界大战的时候，纳粹德国，这个德国很典型的一个表现。
This is the fundamental that Nazi Germany.
这种平庸的恶跟受教育程度没有关，跟受教育程度无关，跟你的教养也无关。
This has nothing to do with your level of education.
德国是世界上哲学思考最深刻的一个国家。
Germany is one of the most philosophically minded countries in the world.
也是这个世界上数一数二的对于什么古典音乐、古典文学有着非常高鉴赏能力的国家。
It has a very deep and ancient culture that values, that values philosophy and music.
可是当他们被卷到这个意识形态的机器里面的时候，
But when they have become part of this ideological machine,
那他们做坏事呢？跟穷凶极恶其实是没有区别的。
But once they have, then they have no difference from people.
所以因为他是在人群里面，因为他是在一个体制下面，所以他不容易被察觉，也很容易被我们忽视。
Because it's under an ideology, it's very easy to, ignore these things and can't notice them easily.
中国有10年的文化大革命。
In the 10 years of the Cultural Revolution.
在经历过整个文化大革命之后，其实真正在中国有反思的一个作家其实是巴金。
There was one author,
writer,
who reflected on the Cultural Revolution called 巴金。
Yeah. 那其他的人你去问他们的时候，他说我为什么要去忏悔我在文革里面做的事情呢？
When you ask other people, they might say, "Oh, why do I need to reflect on what I did in the Cultural Revolution?"
因为不是我做的。
Because I never did those things.
因为是这个时代让我做的。
It was the my environment, the period I was in that forced me to.
是这个国家让我做的。
The country made me do it.
是领袖让我做的。
Our leader made me do it.
是人群让我做的。
The group.
所以我去打人，我去批斗，我去抄家，这都不是我做的，是别人让我做的。
When I hit people, insulted them, it was none of my doing. It was the group.
对，这就是平庸的。
This is the banality of.
那第三，我们看一本书。
Third, let's look at a book.
那这本书呢，其实是影响近代历史蛮重要的一本书，也是哲学上的一本书。
This is a very important philosophical book in modern times.
那他是一个犹太人的一个哲学家，叫做汉娜·哈伦特，阿伦特。
It was written by a Jewish philosopher named Hannah Arendt.
他写了一本书，就叫做平庸的恶。
The book is called Report on the Banality of Evil.
那他原来的意思就是说，他在1961年的时候，在耶路撒冷看到一场对二战的一个重要战犯的审判。
She witnessed in 1961 the trial of an important war criminal.
那这个战犯的名字叫做阿道夫·埃希曼。
The war criminal's name was Adolf Eichmann.
他经历了所有的这个审判之后呢，他就写了这本书。
After experiencing the whole trial, she wrote this book.
那这个埃希曼是谁呢？
Who is Eichmann?
那他是二战的时候对于犹太人非常重要的一个人物。
He was a very important figure in World War II.
在今天的历史上，有据可查的德国人杀害的犹太人的总数大概是600万。
If you count all the Germans who were involved in the genocide of Jews, there were about six million.
600,000.
Oh, yeah.
对，600万。600万的犹太人在集中营里面，在毒气室里面，在不同的这个被关押的这个地方被杀死，绝大部分的这一整个流程的这个工作都是由埃希曼负责的。
The death of the 6 million Jews in concentration camps were all due to the work of Eichmann.
怎么样把犹太人集中起来？怎么样把这些犹太人运到不同的地方？怎么样去建造集中营？怎么样杀他们？都是由埃希曼负责的。
How do you transport all the Jewish people together to concentration camps, build the concentration camps, and then execute them? That was all the responsibility of Eichmann.
所以也可以说，就是说，所有这六百万的犹太人的死，其实都跟他有关。
So you can say that the death of the 6 million Jews all had to do with Eichmann.
那这个就是当时法庭上拍的一个照片，这个就是埃希曼本人。
This picture shows Eichmann on trial.
他说你看上去的时候，这个人，文质彬彬，你看得到穷凶极恶吗？你看不到穷凶极恶。
The person in the photo looks very gentle, and you can never tell that he's a very vicious person.
他也不阴险，也不凶狠。
He doesn't look sinister or cruel.
你不可能把他跟一个杀600万人的一个刽子手把他联系在一起。
You can never think of him as the executioner of 6 million people.
那他在为自己辩护的时候，有一句非常有名的话。
In his defense, he had a famous saying.
他说：“我只是一整个齿轮系统当中的一个齿轮罢了。”
I am just one cog, one gear in the whole system.
所以我只是起到了传动的作用。
My only purpose function was to transmit.
这句话的意思是什么呢？
What does this mean?
这句话的意思就是说，开关不是我摁的。
It basically means that I did not push the on button.
Yeah. 那最后这一刀，最后这一枪也不是我开的。
The final stab, the final shot was not fired by me.
我只是这个系统里面的一个官员而已，我每天坐在办公室里面签字，就这样。
I was just one of many people sitting in an office and signing papers.
那我有什么罪呢？我没有罪啊。
I have no sin or wrongdoing.
大家觉得有道理吗？有道理啊，对吧？我又没有，这枪又不是我开的，刀又不是我捅的，人又不是我杀的。
It doesn't make sense. He didn't stab anyone or shoot anyone or kill anyone directly.
那我一辈子都没有开过一枪，都没有捅过一刀，我怎么会有罪呢？
I've never shot or stabbed anyone in my life. How can I have any sin?
那这就是平庸的，这就是我们有时候很难以意识到的一件事情，就是我们在一个罪恶的系统里面，我们成了罪恶的一部分，可是我们又觉得我们跟这罪恶没有关系。
We think that because we become part of a larger system or group.That's the evil. We have no responsibility or guilt for that.
所以换个更简单的说法，就是说，纳粹德国的领袖们心中那些穷凶极恶的计划，是需要无数普通的德国人去实行的。普通的，就像我们在座的所有人一样。
To put it more simply, the actions and wrongdoing of the Nazi Germany required the cooperation of countless ordinary German people, people similar to ourselves.
Yeah. 这些普通人，如果你不是一个犹太人，你不是在集中营里面，在战场上碰见他们。
If you met these people and you weren't Jewish and you didn't see them at a concentration camp or on the battlefield,
他们就是你心目中的绅士，他们看见女士就会脱帽子。
They would just be what you imagine as gentlemen.And ladies.
那他们受过非常良好的教育，他们是温文尔雅的。
They have received excellent education and are very elegant.
他们能跟你去讨论哲学，讨论神学。
They can easily talk with you about religion and philosophy.
那他们每个星期去教堂去敬拜，他们会唱诗歌，他们会祷告，他们会背这个圣经的这个经文。
They come to church, they sing hymns, they can recite Bible verses.
他们听的是莫扎特，他们听的是贝多芬。
They listen to Mozart and Beethoven.
所以大家不要觉得说纳粹德国在二战期间的时候，这些人都不上教堂了，他们照样上教堂的，他们照样去听到的，他们照样去唱诗歌的。
Don't think that these people didn't go to church. They did. They went to church. They sang hymns.
他们可以唱完诗歌，再跑到那个集中营里面，再摁下那一个毒气的那一个开关。他们觉得这是很正常的一件事情。
They can go to church and sing hymns, and the next moment go to the concentration camp to execute.
所以我们不要觉得说这些事情跟我没有关系，我不会做这样的事情。如果你在纳粹德国，我们如果在纳粹德国，我们在那个时间点里面，我们很可能是我们在唱完诗歌之后，我们就去开枪。
We can't assume that we aren't those types of people. It's possible for us after coming to church and singing hymns to go to a concentration camp and fire that shot.
然后我们觉得说我没有罪。
And yet we still say we have no guilt.
这就是平庸的。
This is the banality.
所以他就是讲说，当人群被政权被人群卷进去的时候，我们会自动的自愿的抛弃自己的判断与思考能力，然后我们心甘情愿的为之服务，为之拼命，这就是平庸的。
It's basically saying that.Once we become part of a larger system or group, then we automatically and willingly give up our own judgment and independent thinking, and we serve and struggle for the system, and this is the banality.
Yeah. 讲几个历史事件啊。
A couple historical events.
那让我们能够看到人可以非理性到什么地步。
This is to help us see how people have become very evil.
第一个历史事件呢，是一个将军的死亡，他的名字叫做袁崇焕。
This first event to talk about is the death of a general named 袁崇焕。
跟中国人有关系，很多人了解这个明朝跟清朝这个历史的话，我们对他应该不陌生的。
If you are familiar with the history of the Ming and Qing dynasties, then you will.
他人生对不起，他人生的最后一年经历很大的一个变化。
He had a very huge change in his life.
在他死之前的八个半月。
In the 8.5 months before his death.
那在北京城里面的老百姓是把他当成英雄的。
The people in the city of Beijing felt he was a hero.
因为当时的袁崇焕打败了大概比自己多八倍到十倍的这个敌人，救了北京城。
Because the general Yuan Zhonghuan battled an army eight times the size of his own and won to protect the city.
所以那时候北京城里的老百姓就是看见袁崇焕都是要跪着来感恩的。
So when people saw Yuan Zhonghuan, they would bow down to him and respect him.
八个半月之后。
But after eight and a half months,
突然传出来一个消息。
A rumor came out.
这个皇帝说
that the emperor said,
这个袁崇焕要谋反。
That 袁崇焕 needs to be executed.
要他要叛变，他要叛国，他要背叛这个国家，所以他应该被拉去杀头。
And that's because he was a traitor and had committed treason.
所以在那一夜之间呢，北京城的老百姓就变了。
So within one night, the people of Beijing completely changed.
历史上记载啊。
In the records of history.
说北京城里的这个老百姓来到袁崇焕行刑的那一个地点。
They say that the commoners of Beijing came to the execution ground.
他们疯狂地掏钱出来去给那一个行刑的人，说我们要花钱买袁崇焕的肉。
And they crazily went up to the executioner to say, "We want to buy 袁崇焕's flesh."
然后买了肉干什么呢？买了肉要吃。
And what do they want to do with the flesh? They want to eat it.
那到了这个最惨的这个时候呢，是人群拥上去的时候，就咬他，咬到你可以看到这个看到袁崇焕的这个内脏。
At the very height of this frenzy, the people would rush up to his body to bite it, and you could see his internal organs.
所以八个半月之后，袁崇焕就被自己曾经救过的百姓活活的折磨死。
So in just a short eight and a half months after saving the city, he was eaten alive by the people, the very people he had saved.
有一个历史学家就讲了这样的一句话。
One historian said,
他说从一个历史学家，一个学历史的一个学者讲了这样一段话，说从长远上来看，长远上来看，人们的眼睛是雪亮的。大家注意啊，长远上来看，人们的眼睛是雪亮的。
And this historian said that in hindsight, people are very clear-eyed.
我们常常会说人们的眼睛是雪亮的，但是我们没有加长远的来看哈。这个长远来看，人民是有智慧的，我们的眼睛是雪亮的，但是短时间内不一定。
In the long term, in hindsight, we can see things very clearly, but in the short term, in the now, we can't.
所以当他们受到这个欺骗或者蒙蔽的时候，他是糊涂的，而且是残酷的。
When we're in the midst of being deceived, we are confused and we're very cruel.
所以这件事情奇怪到什么地步呢？就连当时的这个朝鲜跟当时的明朝是有很紧密的关系，连当时朝鲜的人都认为说袁崇焕是冤枉的，但是北京城里的人就认为他是该死的。
Even the people of Korea, and Korea had a close relationship with the Ming Dynasty at that time, even they felt that 袁崇焕 had been wronged, and yet the city of Beijing did not ever realize that.
我想问的问题是
And what I want to ask is,
如果当时你在北京城
If you were in Beijing at that time,
你身边围满的都是愤怒的人群
And surrounding youWere these angry people.
你会做什么？
What would you do?
这是我要大家一直问自己的问题。如果我在那个场景里面，如果我在这个人群当中，如果我在这个国家里面，如果我在这座城市里面，我会怎么做？
That's the question I want you to ask. If you were in this country, in this group, in this city, what would you do?
第二个历史事件。
The second historical event.
是2012年9月15号发生的一件事情。
Happened on September 15th, 2012.
我们今天举的这些例子，我不是讲在讲这些例子后面的事情的对和错哈，我只是在讲人群哈，在讲人群，在讲情绪。
I'm not concerned with the right or wrong what happened before or after. I'm only concerned with what happened in the group.
2012年呢，发生一件事情，就是日本跟中国有领土上的这个争端。
During this time, Japan and China had territorial disputes.
那这个领土上的这个领土上的争端呢，到后来的时候就演变成民间的一种情绪。
This territorial dispute eventually became a very emotional topic.
那这种情绪呢，从好比用比较好的词呢，我们把它叫做是爱国情绪。
To put it in a positive light, you can say it's patriotism.
但如果我们用比较不好的词来形容呢，这个词叫做愤怒的情绪。
But if you put it negatively, you can say it's anger.
那爱国是很有意思的一件事情。
Patriotism is an interesting thing.
那爱国比较容易。
It's easy to love.
因为爱国大部分的表达方式就是你喊口号就可以了。
Because to be a patriot, all you have to do is yell out some words.
或者你愤怒就可以了。
Or you can just be angry.
所以爱人就比较难。
It's much harder to love people.
胡适曾经讲过说爱人比爱国要难。
It's much harder to love people than to love your country.
那因为爱国呢，往往会用到你的仇恨跟愤怒。
Because patriotism takes advantage of your bitterness.
而爱人呢，需要你的付出和牺牲。
And while loving people requires you to sacrifice.
而爱国呢，往往是以伤害或者牺牲对方来作为表达的方式的。
Patriotism relies on your anger and ability to hurt other people.
在9月15号，在中国的西安发生了一件非常奇怪的事情。
In China's city of Xi'an, something very strange happened.
那就是这一群人呢，涌上街头，他们要游行、要示威的时候，他们是说我们要爱国。
This group of people marched on the streets, in the name of the country.
可是，在这一整场的游行里面，他们所有所破坏的、所伤害的，都是中国人的东西。
And yet, everything that they destroyed during that protest were Chinese property.
几个历史的瞬间，我可以跟大家说一下哈。
A couple of historical things.
那人们游行到一个可以接待外国人的一个宾馆。
People marched to a hotel that had foreigners.
那然后在门口就喊说把里面住的日本人都交出来。
And they demanded that all Japanese guests at the hotel be turned over.
你可以去想说如果这群日本人被交出来的结果是什么。
And you can think what would happen if they turned over those Japanese people.
所以爱国的表现方式就是伤害人。
So,The manifestation of patriotism is hurt.
那找不到，没有办法，怎么办呢？那就上街去砸车吧。
If they couldn't find Japanese people, then they can just smash cars on the road.
那这辆车的牌子是什么呢？是本田 Honda.
The brand of this car is Honda.
那 Honda CR-V, right? 在中国做的。中国人卖的，中国人买的，中国人开的。
And yet it's manufactured in China, sold and bought in China, and driven by Chinese people.
然后在那一天就被砸个稀烂。
And on that day it was completely destroyed.
这是爱国。
This is patriotism.
这看上去像一辆马自达哈，马自达。
This looks like a Mazda car.
做的是中国人。
And It's a woman,
是女性
a Chinese woman.
你可以看到他们脸上的惊恐害怕
and you can see the shock and fear on their faces.
你可以看到人群的激动开心
you can see the excitement and happiness of the crowd.
我相信在那一个瞬间，这一群人觉得自己在做一件对的事情。
I can assure you that in this moment, this mob felt that they were doing a righteous thing.
Frankie, 如果这个人是你
，If this person was you,
如果这个人，如果你在当时这个场景里，你看到这样的惊恐，你看到这样的快乐，你看到这样的开心兴奋的时候，你会不会在脑子里有一个念头说，为什么？
If you saw this excitement, in the crowd, would you ever think to yourself, why is this happening?
如果我们还有问为什么的能力，我们就比较容易可以脱离这种平庸的恶。
If we still have the ability to ask ourselves why, then we can shed ourselves of this phenomenal evil.
弟兄姐妹们，这些都是跟我们一样平凡的人。
These people are ordinary people like ourselves.
跟我们一样善良
，They are kind just like us。
跟我们一样温柔
，They are gentle like us。
跟我们一样是父亲，是母亲，是儿子，是女儿。
They're moms and dads and daughters and sons。
可是，在那一瞬间，在那一天的西安街头，这群人好像变成了另外的一个人。
But on that day.In Xi'an, these people became something else.
为什么
？And why is that?
因为你被绑架，因为你被裹挟，因为你被影响。
Because you've been captured and kidnapped and trapped by this.
因为你进到一种系统里面，进到一种情绪里面，你不思考，你不判断。
Once you enter a system, a group.And become involved in it. You stop thinking. You stop judging for yourself.
那所以那一天最血腥的一件事情
，the cruelest thing that happened on that day.
就有一个年轻人
，there was a young person.
找到了一把锁摩托车的那一个锁，就是 U 型的那个铁锁，很重的。
They found a motorcycle U lock. It was very heavy.
这个人年轻人的名字叫做蔡阳。
This person was named 蔡阳。
当年才21岁。
And he was only 21 years old.
那他在街上就看到了有一个人开着一辆 Corolla Toyota， 就是日本的丰田的 Corolla 的车子。
And he saw someone driving a Toyota Corolla on the street.
然后他就去问他说：“你为什么要买这辆车？”
And he asked.Why are you driving that car?
你为什么要买日本人的牌子的这个车
？Why did you have to buy a Japanese car?
那个人很委屈啊，那买的时候还没有这个争端呢。
That person felt very wrong, like there was no such protest when he bought the car.
在言语的这个几句言语的这个对接之下，这个年轻人就拿着那一个 U 型的锁。打在他的这个脑袋上，打穿他的脑骨。
And during this exchange, Cai Yang used the U-lock to smash the person's skull.
为什么？就是因为他开了一辆 Toyota Corolla.
And for what? Because he was driving a Toyota Corolla.
他不是一个日本人，他也跟日本的这些政策都无关，可是。他成了这个愤怒的牺牲品。
He had nothing to do with the Japanese government policies. He wasn't even Japanese, and yet he became a victim of the anger.
那个被打的人名字叫做李建立。
The person who was attacked is named Li Jianli.
他没有死。
He did not die.
他今天还在医院里面。
But today he is still in the hospital.
他没有讲话的能力。他没有行走的能力。
He has lost his ability to speak and cannot walk.
只是因为他在2012年9月15号在西安开了一辆 Toyota Corolla.
All because on September 15, 2012, he was driving a Toyota Corolla in Xi'an.
我们要想说，如果我们不在这一天碰见这个名叫蔡阳的年轻人。
If we met this person named Cai Yang at any other time,
他应该是一个完全不一样的。
He would probably be a completely different person.
他绝对不是一个每天拿着这个锁要去敲人家脑袋的。
He's definitely not the kind of person to go around smashing people's head with a lock.
是什么让他在那一天的时候变成了这样的人？
What caused him to turn into that type of person on that day?
那我要问大家说，我有没有可能会变成这样的？
I want to ask you all, can I become such a person?
最后一个事件是圣经里面的比拉多事件。
The last event we want to talk about is about Pilate.
圣经里面有过几次全民的公投啊。
There are a couple of times in the Bible when a referendum or a vote took place.
我们现在这个世界很喜欢全民公投。
In modern times, we love referendums.
可是我一点都不喜欢全民公投。
But, I really don't like them, actually.
因为我知道人们或者人民会有多愚昧或者会有多不理性。
Because I know how illogical people can be.
圣经里面有两次明显的全民公投。
There were two times in the Bible when a referendum took place.
可是结果都很糟糕。
But the results were catastrophic.
第一次他们要废除耶稣，废除这个摩西。
And the first time they wanted to get rid of Moses.
第二次全民公投的结果是他们要杀死耶稣。
And the second time was to kill Jesus.
所以下次如果人要你做全民公投的时候，你要好好想一想这个全民公投到底是什么东西哈。
So the next time when you're asked to vote on something, you need to think carefully what the vote is about.
第一次的时候呢，他们的结论是三个：第一个就是说我们要另外立一个首领；第二个就是我们要回埃及；第三个就是说我们要杀死一切不赞同我们意见的人。
So the first time when they were getting rid of Moses, they wanted to elect a new leader, return to Egypt, and kill anybody who disagreed.
所以如果在那个历史的瞬间上帝不出现不插手的话呢，以色列人就回埃及做奴隶去了。
So if God had not intervened, then the Israelites would have returned to slavery in Egypt.
那第二次就是比拉多引导的这次全民公投，就是要确定耶稣应不应该死。
So the second time was when Pilate ran a vote to decide whether Jesus should be killed.
就如果不是在那一天遇见比拉多的话，我们应该会很喜欢比拉多这个人。
If we met Pilate on any other day besides this, we would have liked him.
就比拉多身上有很多优点。
He had many good qualities.
第一，他尊重女性，对吧？他很听老婆的话。他老婆跟他说这个男人不能杀，他就出去跟人家讲说，这个男人不能杀，这个耶稣不能杀。
When his wife said he could not kill Jesus, he went out to the crowd and said, "You cannot kill him."
他很温柔啊，他很谦和啊，他跟别人讲话不是说我要怎么做，我想怎么做，他跟人家谈的、交流、沟通的。
He was a very gentle and modest person. He wanted to discuss with people what to do.
他也不盛气凌人，也不穷凶极恶。
He's not a very angry or vicious person at all.
他也很清醒，能够看清楚很多东西的真相。
He's a very clear-eyed person. He can see things clearly.
那是对，甚至他都很清楚知道自己应该怎么做。
And he even understood what he should have done, what the right thing was.
可是他都所有对的事情他都没有做。
And yet he did none of those things.
所以我觉得男生还是要听老婆的话。
So, men should still listen to their
wives. 他做了一切他认为错的事情。
He did everything that he knew to be wrong.
所以他说，那好吧，那你们要怎么样做，你们就怎么样做吧。你们说怎么样去促使这个怎么样去解决这个耶稣。那人群就说，我们要杀死这个耶稣，我们要释放那个强盗巴拉巴。
He said that you can do whatever you want. You can kill Jesus if you want.
然后这个比拉多就做了一件事情，比拉多在众人面前就洗手。
And Pilate in front of everybody washed his hands.
那他洗手是什么？这个事情跟我什么？跟我没有关系。
And the washing of his hands symbolized that he had nothing to do with this.
我只是传动系统里面的什么？ 一环，我是签字的那个人，对吧？
I am just one cog, one gear in the whole system.
开关不是我摁的。
I didn't press the on button.
杀也不是我杀的。
And I didn't do the killing.
我只是说随便你们吧。
I just said whatever you want to do.
你们要怎么做就怎么做吧。
You can do whatever you want.
所以呢，我就没有关系。
So I have no responsibility.
对，这就是平庸的恶的最核心的精神，就是不是我干的。
This is the fundamental spirit of the banality of evil.
啊，所以这就是我们今天一定要避免的一件事情啊。
This is something we must avoid.
我们一定要非常清醒的去思考说，当我心中有某一种情绪的时候，或者有某一种这个强烈的感情的时候，你需要好好的去问一问这些感情是从哪里来的，你需要冷静下来。
Whenever we have very strong emotions about something, we need to think calmly about it.
而且你永远要清醒，不是所有人做的事情就一定是对的事情。
And we need to understand that not what everybody else is doing is not always right.
我们有危险的。
We have a danger.
这些危险很可能就在我们身边。
And the danger could be right next to us.
如果今天有人叫你去国会山游行，
If somebody told you today to march on Capitol
Hill, 你去的时候很清楚地告诉自己说这是一场和平的游行。
And you can tell yourself that this is a very peaceful protest.
可是你突然之间就发现你身边的人变得越来越愤怒。
But then you discover that the people around you have become more and more angry.
他们说我们冲到国会山里面去吧。
Let's charge into the Capitol building.
我们砸烂所有一切的桌子吧。
Let's destroy all the tables.
我们杀死所有的警察吧。
Let's kill all the police officers.
你要好好的提醒一下自己。
You need to remind yourself.
我要不要这样去做？
Should I do that?
你能不能够从那一条路上开始回头转离离开？
Are you able to turn back and leave that situation?
所以圣经里的答案是什么呢？
What is the answer for us in the Bible?
神要我们怎样去面对今天我们可能都会面对的这个危险？
How does God want us to confront this danger?
第一个答案，上帝告诉我们说，你要比别人多一条路。
The first is that we have a different path than other people.
基督徒比别人多一条路。
Jesus had a different path.
今天你在美国，你如果面对政治的时候，你只有两条路，一条是共和党的路，一条是民主党的路。
In American politics today, there are only two options: Republican path or the Democratic one.
那今天如果你在台湾，你只有两条路，一条是国民党的路，一条是民进党的路。
In Taiwan, there's also only two parties.
对吧？所以很多时候我们很痛苦的，我们很挣扎，我们很无奈的，我们被逼着一定要选一条路。
So in modern life, oftentimes we're forced to choose one of two options.
所以我常常被人问的说，哎，詹姆斯，你挺不挺川普？
People often ask me, Pastor, do you support Donald Trump?
我说我不挺川普。
Oh, I don't.
那他的答案很清楚，他说：“哦，那你就挺拜登。”
Oh, so that means you must support Biden.
我说我也不挺拜登。
But I also don't support Biden.
他说你怎么可以谁都不挺呢
？How could you not
对吧？这是
support anybody.
对对对对，他就说你一定得选某一条道路。
You must choose one path.
你一定得要做某一个选择，而且只能够是在我提供的这两个选择里面去选。
You have to make a choice and choose a side, and it can only be from the options that we've provided.
可是我还是很想告诉大家说，除了拜登的路，除了川普的路之外，我还希望能够有一条神的路。
But I want to emphasize that.Outside of Biden's path and outside of Trump's path, there's another one, and that's God's path.
我不喜欢他们两个人，因为他们不是我的救主。
I don't like those two people because they are not my savior.
我也从来不相信他们当中的某一个人可以拯救这个世界，可以拯救美国。
And I don't believe that either of them can save the world or save America.
我只知道说，我希望能够走在一条神要我走的路上。
I hope that I can walk the path that God wants me to.
因为我知道说，只有那条路才是我一生当中应该一直站在上面的一条路。
Because I know that is the only path that I should be walking on for my whole life.
你不要以为共和党永远都对，也不要以为民主党永远都对，他们可能在某些事情上对，可能在某些事情上错，所以你不要选边站，你不要靠边站，你不要成为某一个政党的附庸。
Don't assume that the Republicans are always right or that the Democrats are always right. Don't choose a side and become a pawn.
你需要去找一条神的路。
You need to follow God's path.
我们永远比这世上没有信仰的人多一条路，我们那一条就是神的路。
We always have a different path available to us that are not available to others, and that is God's.
而且这也是唯一一条真正正确的路。
And this is the only true and righteous path.
所以不管哪一个政党去出这些政策的时候，你不要看它是哪一个政党出的，你要看它是讲的是什么，合不合乎神的心意，符不符合圣经的真理。
So when you see the policies that are put out by today's parties, don't look at what party it came from. Ask yourself if it aligns with God's will.
Yeah.所以不要说因为我挺谁，所以我就无脑的去跟从谁。我看过太多过去的这几年，很多的教会领袖说，他因为他是谁，所以我们就跟随他。
So don't say, because they are a certain party or affiliation that I follow them. And I've seen too many people, too many pastors do this.
所以圣经里面说的是什么呢？
What does the Bible say?
圣经里面说，主虽然以艰难跟你当饼，以困苦跟你当水，你的教师却不再隐藏，你眼必看见你的教师。你或向左，或向右，你必听见后面有声音说，这是正路，要行在其间。
Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction,Your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it."
所以我不喜欢走任何一个人的路，我希望我能够走在神的路上。
I do not want to walk any path but the one that God has set for me.
第二，我希望大家能够明白说，独特比合群有时候是更美丽的一件事情。
The second thing I want you all to understand is that being unique is often more beautiful than fitting in.
不是鼓励大家不合群，而是鼓励大家不要永远都合群。
I'm not encouraging to never fit in, but to not always fit in.
圣经里面说，我的佳偶在女子中，好像百合花在荆棘里。
The Bible says, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the reeds.
成为荆棘并不难。
Becoming a thorn is not hard.
成为百合花也不难。
And becoming a lily is also not hard.
难就难在百合花开在荆棘里。
The hard part is becoming a lily amidst thorns.
所以我们的人生不一定永远都要合群。
In our life, we don't always have to be in harmony.
有时候你是一个孤独人，有时候你是一个清醒人，也许更不容易，也更难能可贵。
Sometimes being alone, being aware is something that is much harder and much more precious.
第三，我们需要有追求不顺从的勇气。
Third, we need to pursue the courage to disobey.
这个不顺从是指不顺从人。
This disobedience is disobeying people.
彼得有一句非常重要的话，彼得去回答的时候说，在我的人生当中，顺从神不顺从人是应当。
Peter has a famous saying that
we must
Okay.
We must
obey God rather than men.
给大家看一张照片。Yeah.
Let's look at a picture.
可能大家不是能够看得非常清楚啊。这个是二战的时候纳粹德国的一次聚会。
This was in World War II during a meeting in Nazi Germany.
那这个聚会 的所有的人在做的一件事情就是干嘛呢？就是行纳粹礼。
All the people in this crowd were giving the Nazi salute.
那现在这个礼节是被禁的哈，因为它有很典型的纳粹的这个色彩。
This is a very typical Nazi symbol.
这里有一个人哈
，But there is one person here.
他旁边围着的全部都是纳粹党的党徒哈
，Surrounded by followers of the Nazi Party.
那他没有行这个礼
，But he is not saluting.
他是一个纳粹党人哈，我先告诉大家，他是一个纳粹党，他当时的时候是一个还是属于一个纳粹党的人
，But he is in fact a member of the Nazi Party.
那可是他娶了一个犹太的姑娘。
But he married a Jewish woman.
所以当纳粹开始这个种族灭绝的有开始有种族灭绝的这个迹象的时候，这个名叫奥古斯特的人呢就开始了他的不顺处。
So when the Nazi Party began showing signs of committing genocide, he began his disobedience.
很可惜他的妻子还是进了集中营，还是死了。
Unfortunately, his wife did enter a concentration camp and died there.
然后他自己呢？在后来的时候，因为各种各样的不顺从呢，坐了至少两年的牢。
And himself, because of his various disobediences, spent 2 years in prison.
我很佩服这个人。
I respect this person.
因为我觉得不容易。
Because I realize it's very difficult.
当你身边的这个影响力那么强的时候，你能够去抗拒，你能够不顺从，这是非常了不起的一件事情。
To disobey and go against the flow when everyone else is doing the opposite.
我也希望求神能够给我这种不顺从的勇气。
And I ask that God give me this courage to disobey.
所以平庸的恶就是讲我们在某一个场合或者某一个人群里某一种情况当中会失去我们自己的判断与思考的能力。
And so the banality of evil it just refers to.When you're in a group that you completely give up your ability to think for yourself,
然后我们就成了这个群体的恶的一部分。
And we become part of the evil of the group.
我希望我们大家每一个人都能够保持清醒。
I hope that all of us can maintain clear thinking.
为什么我一定要在这个时候去讲这篇道呢？
Why do I want to bring this up now?
因为我很担忧，我也很遗憾地看到这个世界开始有越来越多的仇恨，有越来越多的互相的敌视。
Because I have seen sadly that this world has more and more conflict and hatred.
无论是在中国，无论是在美国。
Both in China and in the US.
无论在俄罗斯，无论在乌克兰。
Both in Russia and Ukraine.
我们今天常常被教导要去仇恨，而不是要去包容，或者说是要去爱。
We're often taught to hate rather than to love.
我们在美国也同样看到越来越多的仇恨，没有看到越来越多的爱。
In America too, we're seeing more and more hatred and not so much of love.
哪怕在短短的十几年以前，民主党人不会恨共和党人，共和党人不会恨民主党人。
Just 10 or so years ago, Democrats and Republicans did not hate each other.
但是现在我们开始互相的仇恨。
But now we see ourselves hating each other more.
十几年以前，中国人不一定会恨美国人，美国人不一定会恨中国人。
Ten or so years ago, Americans and Chinese did not hate each other.
可是今天我们可以看到，这个仇恨在不断的增长，在不断的出现在我们的生活当中。
But today we can see the hatred is steadily increasing.
我不希望我们被这些东西，被这些情感绑架，裹挟。
I don't want us to become trapped or kidnapped by these emotions.
我不希望我们成为这个罪恶系统里面的一部分。
I don't want us to become part of an evil system.
我不希望我们每个人活在恨里面。
I don't want us to live in hatred.
一个基督徒不应该活在恨里面。
A Christian should not live in hate.
我们应该活在神的爱里。
We should live in God's love.
我们应该活在包容，活在理解，活在互相的体谅里。
We should live in understanding of one another.
所以我很不希望我们每一个人都成为平庸的恶的一部分。
And I do not want us to become part of the banality of evil.
所以如果今天你打开微信，打开 Facebook, 打开 YouTube.
So when you open Facebook, YouTube, or WeChat.
当你看完某些东西的时候，心中充满了愤怒跟仇恨。
If you saw something and it fills you with anger and hatred,
我强烈建议你不要再看。
I strongly urge you to stop watching.
我希望你能够记得这一句话。
I hope you remember these words.
不可行恶人的路，不可走坏人的道。
Do not walk the path of evil people and nor the path of the wicked.
恨不是从神来的。
Hatred is not from God.
唯有爱是从神那里而来的。
Love is from God.
求神给我们智慧，让我们可以脱离这种平庸的恶。
I beg God to give us the wisdom to get rid of these evil things.
好，愿神祝福他的话语。
Amen.
Amen.